To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives the message of special knowledge. To the same Spirit, great faith. Good job. The other, someone gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles. And the other, the ability to prophesy. And then it goes into discern. We talked a little bit, what was discernment? Anybody remember what discernment was? If you have the ability to discern something, you walk into a situation, and all of a sudden you go, this is not good. Why? You discerned that there's something just not right. Okay? So it can, sometimes it comes over you like a feeling. It can be an emotion. But having that gift of discernment. And the other is to speak in unknown languages. And while another is the ability to interpret what is being said. Come on in, guys. Make yourself at home. We were kind of reviewing and revisiting what we talked about a week ago, a month ago. First Wednesday last year. I mean, last week, month. And so what are these things that we, what do we call these things? They are spiritual gifts. I didn't hear you. Did you say spiritual gifts? I thought you said spiritual gifts. You don't say anything? Mm-mm, you just stay quiet. By the end of camp, you're going to say something.
She's quiet because you're over here.
By the end of camp, you're going to say something. All right, so this was found where? 1 Corinthians chapter
12.
Does anybody know what the next chapter is about? Think about it for a second.
Wait,
1 Corinthians 13? It's called the love chapter. Okay. She didn't. I heard her. I was trying to make everybody else think a little bit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 then is called the love chapter. And it's love is the greatest. And it goes through and it gives an, if you've ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard portions of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 because it's all about love. And it's really good. So you need to read it. Somebody go, you're going to go home and read it? You already read it? You know it? Okay. Okay, read it soon. Matter of fact, I'd love for you to read it before. I'd love for you to. love for you to read it before you go to camp. Okay? So read it before you go to camp. Because if you truly love somebody, then you're going to do the things that are in this chapter. And loving somebody isn't talking about, how many different types of love are there? Does anybody know? There's several different types. Three main ones that I know of. Filial love. Has anybody ever heard of filial love? That's a brotherly love. That's where the word Philadelphia comes from. It is a little warm in here. I don't look and see it. Maybe it may have kicked off. What does it say? It's set on.
Set at 83.
Okay, yeah. Just arrow down. It just kicked off. Anybody ever heard of agape love? What is agape love? Agape love is God's perfect love. We would like to be able to love with agape love, but that type of love has absolutely no judgment. That type of love has absolutely doesn't look for any faults in any form or fashion. And to be able to love. And that's how we're God's love. We're supposed to be able to love people that way. And that's one of the things I like about Eagles Way. Is I believe that they love people with a non-judgmental love for the most part. Not everybody. Some people mess up. Some people are dealing with issues. Sometimes I'm dealing with issues. Sometimes you're dealing with issues. But learning to love that way is important. So, we're talking about spiritual gifts. Who has these gifts? Everybody. Everybody has at least one of these gifts. Okay? If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then He has gifted you. Okay? And so the idea then is you need to find out what is your gift. Can you have more than one?
Yes.
Sure. Sure. Can you utilize more than one? Absolutely. All right, so a gift, what is the difference between a gift and a tool?
A gift is something that you can receive, but you don't always have to use it. A tool is something that you don't really have to receive and get yourself, but you use it.
That's pretty good. I like that. Did y'all hear that? That was a great explanation. Okay. And so, whether I talk about a toolbox or I talk about some people use, there's terminology that's used, a quiver. Anybody know what a quiver is? A quiver is something that holds your arrows, okay? And so if you were going hunting, you would have a quiver full of arrows, and you might have different arrows for what you're trying to hunt. Or if you're going to work, you have different types of tools for what you're needing to do and what to accomplish. So, what is a tool in your Christian walk with God? Name one. Huh?
The Bible.
The Bible. The Bible is a tool that you have. Okay? It is something that is there for you. What's another tool? Okay, the church can be a tool. I hadn't really thought of that, but the church is a tool because it's a place of safety that you can go to. It's a place that's awesome. I hadn't thought about it. Because when you look at it on your own personal level, these are personal things that you can use to help you in your walk with God. What's another one? How about prayer? Is praying a tool that you can use? Anybody ever prayed before? Been in a time of need and you cried out to God? What'd you say?
Worship.
Worship. Worship is an awesome tool. Okay. How about meditation? What's the difference between prayer and meditation? Okay, it's good. And you can even take it a step further. Prayer is your portion of the conversation, and meditation can be God's portion of the conversation. And that meditation could be on a scripture that you're reading. That meditation can be on just hearing His voice. How do you know when you've heard God's voice? Feel it, okay? What if you have a feeling you've not ever had that feeling before?
You just know.
It feels different.
Okay. Usually what happens is you think that you have heard God's voice. You're not sure. Something transpires or something happens. An event takes place and you realize, I did hear God's voice. And then that feeling that Anna was talking about that you had sensed before, you want to remember what that feeling is so that when it happens again, you have that ability to know this is God. So have you ever been around a pastor that has been confident enough to say, the Lord says? Okay. More than likely, and hopefully that pastor is seasoned enough that he recognizes when God is speaking to him very quickly. You can do the very same thing if you want to. It just takes time to develop that and to learn that and for that to happen. Does that make sense? No. You don't think you can? You will one day. I promise. So, anybody have any idea what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 then talks about? No. I'm going to read a few verses for you because it has to do with tongues and prophecy. Okay, so we learned about spiritual gifts in chapter 12 and what they were. Then we went into chapter 13, which talked about love. And what does it say about love? Does anybody remember? There are three things that will last forever. This is the last verse of chapter 13. It says there are three things that will last forever: faith, hope, and love. Those are the only three things that are going to last forever. And the greatest of these is love. Okay? So everything then we channel it through faith, hope, and love. But in verse 14 it says, let love be your highest goal. The greatest thing that you can do is what? Okay, hold on. Let me read this again. It says, let love be your highest goal. Okay, so what is the greatest thing that you can do? It is the love. The very best thing that you can do is love. Now, when you become a parent and you have a child, there's going to be discipline and there's going to be instruction and there's going to be things that have to be done. But the greatest thing that you can do for that child is to love that child. It says, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives. Okay, and back in verse 12, we read the term, the Spirit gives the abilities to, and we listed those devices, right? So, you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, okay, let's describe what tongues is. You can read this later if you want to, but go to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts, this is where the disciples were all in an upper room. And it says that the Holy Spirit came down with tongues of fire upon their heads, and they began speaking in different languages. They were uttering things they did not understand. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God. Think about that for a second. That's kind of cool to me. Yeah. That was in the Old Testament. That was the Tower of Babel. Okay? And they all spoke the same language. And they were, because they were so efficient in what they were doing and building this thing, they became very proud. And God confused their languages so they couldn't work together the way they were doing it. Because they were making themselves a god more than looking to God. Okay? So, for if you have the ability to speak in tongues, then you will be talking only to God. So in other words, if I sat here and I spoke in tongues, God would know what I'm saying to him. But you all would be looking at me like I'm stupid. Because you would have no clue what I was saying. Guess what? I would have no clue what I was saying. Okay. Why would that be important? Why would that be useful? You think about that for any reason? Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know exactly what to pray? Say you had a loved one that was very ill and about to pass, possibly. And if they stayed there in so much pain, but you don't want to lose them because you love them so much. If I could pray a perfect prayer to God, wouldn't that be cool? If I'm in a situation where I don't know exactly what decision to make with some friends and they're pulling on me for some advice and I'm needing to know what to say, to have a tool in your toolbox or an arrow in your quiver, that you can pull out and to use to help you, I think is awesome. So listen, let me read just a little bit more. Since people won't be able to, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will be all mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. Have anybody ever heard Pastor Buren prophesy from on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night, or if you've ever been in there, where he's kind of looked at somebody or pointed them out and said, and he may not always say God says or the Lord says, but he says this, da-da-da-da-da. And it always strengthens them. It encourages them. It makes them feel, it usually brings a confirmation to something that's already going on in their life. Okay? So, say there is a decision that Madison has to make, and she is got this tough choice between this and this. Maybe it's choosing schools, and she's got, and it's not all on her, but she has pretty much that. And so a word, a prophecy could come that doesn't tell her exactly what school to choose, but it gives, she was leaning in a direction, and it kind of brings confirmation as to the decision that you were fixing to make. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. What does that mean? It is an edification for yourself. Anybody ever gotten down and out before? Been kind of depressed? Just maybe not. Not just a lazy day, but if you're your spirit person, your spirit man, is not doing well or needs to be encouraged, speaking in tongues can edify and encourage you. Why? Because you're speaking a perfect prayer to God. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Now, there has been times in the past of our church, and some churches still do that, that in the middle of a worship service, the middle of a church service, someone will speak out in tongues loud, one person. Okay, and this happened in the earlier church. And it got to, in the earlier church, when I say the earlier church, we're talking about in Bible days, it got to where there was a lot of disorder. It was abused. And so when Paul came in, things that God wrote, used them to write to give the churches some instruction on what to do. So in other words, if a tongue is spoken in the middle of church, then there should be an interpretation to that tongue. Okay, so in other words, somebody should then say, they should then prophesy. They should say what was being said. Now, does that need to happen in your own personal life? It's different. It's not necessarily the same. Okay? You can speak in tongues and not ever know what it was that you spoke. But it is a tool that you have that can be in your toolbox, if you want it, that can be used. Do you have to prophesy? No. Do you have to speak in tongues? No. Do you have to pray? No. Do you have to read the Bible? You don't have to, okay? These are all things that if you are choosing to follow Christ and be a Christ follower and want to then imitate and be like Him, ways that you can then form your life to do that. I'm reading a book right now. It's talking about spiritual disciplines and things that we make ourselves do sometimes that we don't really want to do, but we're doing it because we know it's good for us. Anybody do that, anything like that right now? What?
Sorry, I was just
agreeing. I know. What do you do? Anybody? What's a discipline that you are making yourself do? It may not be a spiritual one, it may be a physical one, but a discipline that you're making yourself do. Not that you really want to do it, but you know that you ought to do it, and so you're doing it.
I don't do it anymore, but last year I kept a journal every night.
Okay.
Of 2015.
Yeah.
And I never, ever wanted to do it, but, I knew that I would, benefit from it later.
Cool.
To, get advice for myself.
Yeah.
Or just, to look back on memories and stuff. So I had to, force myself to write in it every night.
And it became easier and easier, didn't it, as you continued to do it?
And, now I like to look back on it a lot.
Cool.
I remember, and it ties into what you said about gifts versus tools. My roommate, when I was living in New York, you read a lot. You read a book every 2-3 days. You have a different book. It was ridiculous, thick books. And I said, the question I asked was, do you think reading is a talent or a skill? And she told me, she said, it's a skill. It's something you make yourself do. I read very quickly because I've been reading for so long, and I picked up a book and I started reading. I made myself read and read and read, and now I love reading. The same way you're talking about the Bible, that's how I learned a lot of stuff in my adult life, because I'm not in school anymore. I learned it from reading. So early on it was hard because I had to make time for it, but I've gotten a lot better at reading, so I made myself do it.
That's awesome. Does everybody brush their teeth? We're working on Liam. That is a discipline that you may not feel like going and brushing your teeth, but you know that you should because it's good for you and you don't want everybody else to smell your bad breath. Okay? So, in the same way, some of these disciplines that you begin doing, whether it's reading the Word, whether it's praying, whether it's meditating, spending time with God, are disciplines that you do that make a difference. Verse 5 says, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. Dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you speaking in an unknown language, how would that help you? But if I bring you a revelation or some special knowledge or prophecy or teaching, that will be helpful. Even lifeless instruments like a flute or a harp must play the notes clearly or no one will recognize the melody. And if the bugler... I thought it was saying bugler, and I was like, what is that? If the bugler doesn't sound a clear call, how will the soldiers know they are being called into battle? It's the same for you. If you speak to people in words they don't understand, how will they know what you are saying? You might as well be talking to the empty space. So, speaking in tongues is speaking words or language that, as the Spirit gives utterance. What does that mean? As Holy Spirit, okay? How many of you know when you accepted Jesus into your heart, that Holy Spirit came in and it dwells within you? Right? So that's why you hear Pastor Ralph at times say, God is in you. You are God. When he said... He's not saying that you are a God, but he's saying the God of the universe, power of the Holy Spirit, resides inside of you. Yes?
Is that why he says whenever you say the word I am, it's equivalent to God?
There it is. Because it is not taking, we don't want to take anything away from God. He is the creator of the universe, the creator of us. But he sent his son to die so that the Holy Spirit then could live inside of us. Do we have, let's use the word flesh, our flesh nature, the part of us that makes bad choices? We all have that, don't we? Because not is anybody in here perfect? I don't see any hands going up. Okay? But we also have God living inside of us. So because of that, if we can draw upon that power that is there, then we can make the choices that we need to make. We can make the decisions that we need to make. And when Christ on the cross said, "It is finished," he had completed all that needed to be completed. And so now it's up to us to walk it out. To do what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, which is what?
Love.
Okay. To recognize what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us we have. What does 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tell us we have?
Spiritual gifts.
And then we also then, if we want to do what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, and prophesy or to speak in tongues ourselves. So what does that look like to us? You have a question?
I was saying the other day, on Sunday night, I visited a Pentecostal church.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the service, like, everybody was speaking in tongues, and, like, the preacher had, like, the mic, and he was speaking in tongues. And it was, just, like, kind of, like, confusing. And, like, no, I mean, it was just, like, everyone was, like, on their, I mean, some people were, like, falling, and
well, and it can be scary because you've never ever experienced that before. But some of those very same things has happened here at Eagles Way before. Okay, we purposely moved in a direction that we still want the power of the Holy Spirit working in people's lives, but we don't necessarily want that scary effect. We want to be relevant. Sometimes someone can be so spooky spiritual that the people around them don't understand them, what they're saying. Because we use Christianese at times, don't we? Anybody know any Christianese? You do. Think about it for a second. What is a term that you would use at church that people understand that if someone who has never been in church might not understand? Holy Spirit is a term.
Holy Trinity.
The Trinity. Okay. Using the word prophesy. All of that, those terminologies you are learning about and have. And for someone that has never been a part of it, it's weird to them. It's scary to them. Do you know how the different denominations started? You have Pentecostal, and you have Methodist, and you have Baptist. Do you know how they started?
People interpreted the Bible
differently. Exactly. Most of the time, one of the particular denominations went to a point and said, "This is what we believe," and stopped. And somebody said, "Okay, I'm going to go a little bit further and I'm going to add this to it." And then they stopped. And then somebody went a little bit farther. And so there's a lot of tweaking that is involved in all of that. And so that is why, does anybody know what kind of church we are? Okay. All of those would be accurate descriptions. But the term that we are now using is an interfaith church. Okay? The reason being, non-denominational has you kind of believing you don't want anything to do with any denominations. Okay? A better term would be interdenominational, which would mean that you're kind of trying to bring all of the denominations together. Right? We have moved to interfaith church so as to be accepting of everyone. So bring your faith. We want to make sure that that faith is pointed to God the Father Almighty. Okay? And then you have this walk that you're walking out, and what are those tools that you're going to use? So, Has anybody ever seen somebody fall out? Did you said you saw somebody fall out at that service?
There's like at the beginning, or like towards the end, everybody was talking in tongues. But during the beginning, just like during the service, there was like somebody screaming in the back, and I was like, I don't know what was going on back there.
And we are emotional people, okay? But we don't want to get caught up totally in just our emotions. Is it okay to cry? Is it okay to have these feelings? Sure. But what happened in the earlier church that the apostles got onto them for, and what can happen in churches even now, is the emotional aspect of it overrides and becomes what it's all about, rather than what God wants to be all about. Does that make sense? And so our goal is to be the most biblical church that we possibly can be, to embrace 100% and not just portions of the Word of God, and to walk Christian lives, to be a part of this world, to be relevant to our friends at school and wherever we may be, but to know that we're different, to be set apart. And so I have fallen out in the spirit before, okay? Now, I'll tell you a little story that I thought was kind of funny, but I hadn't for a long time, and I was like, people all around, and my friends had, and other people in the youth group had, and I was like, I don't think this is real, because I'm not. And so I was in somebody wanted to pray, and people were beginning to fall out, and they said, if you want to be prayed for, come stand in this line. And I stood up in the line, and I braced myself, and I was ready. Because if the Holy Spirit was going to, if I was going to fall out, he's going to have to knock me over. And the person beside me was prayed for, and they fell over. And the person over here was prayed for, and they fell over, and nothing happened to me. And what I realized is that Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Holy Spirit is not going to do something against your will. It's just not. Not going to knock you off your feet. Holy Spirit wants to empower you, wants to strengthen you, wants to encourage you, wants you to be all that you can possibly be. But if it's not going to overpower your mind, will, and your emotions. And so it wasn't until I said, if this is for real, I'll fall over. If it's not for real, I won't fall over. But God, I want all that you have for me. The next thing I remember is I was on my back and I was looking up, and it just happened. Does it have to happen all the time? No, it doesn't. I would say it was probably similar to that. I don't know that I've ever really passed out before, but I would imagine it just because it was a feeling of knowing that I was overcome by God. And it works through your emotions. It works through your willingness and the spiritual aspect of it. So, speaking in tongues, how do you do that? Why do you do that? Number one reason for speaking in tongues to me is because you're speaking directly to God in a language that bypasses your intellect. To me, it's one of the most encouraging things that I can do in my prayer time. Someone as a pastor that I'm down front to pray for people, and somebody's walking up to me and I have no idea what's going on in their lives. I don't have a clue. What do you think I want to be doing right then? I'm trying to talk to him so that he can talk to me to give me the words that I need to say. And so I'm speaking in tongues. Most of the time it's under my breath because I don't want to freak them out because they may not have heard that before. But I'm wanting to receive from God that word of encouragement that I can give them. And I get different words for different people, and I have to know that I feel as though that's from God. And there are times that I will use thus saith the Lord. Most of the time I don't. Most of the time I just give the encouragement that I feel like I'm supposed to give. And so speaking in tongues is a tool that I have in my arsenal. Especially in those, when you're in a situation where you don't know exactly what you should do or how you should handle a situation. You say you're at a party and you're being offered or tempted something that you shouldn't, and you want to know what's the easiest and quickest way I can get out of this situation. Having that tool to be able to say, God, help me in this, you would be shocked at the encouragement that it will bring you, at the strength that it will give you to make the wise choice, and then the wisdom that then can come of what you should do and how you should handle it. And every situation might be a little bit different. I thought you were raising your hand. I had debated tonight as to whether or not I was going to offer you the opportunity to speak in tongues or to receive that gifting. And I've decided is anybody not going to camp that's here? We've got one. You're going to New York City. There are some places that you would go and they would begin telling you, just start saying this word. And as you begin saying this word, then more words will come. There can be some manipulation into that, okay? But what the scripture talks about is that the Spirit is going to be subject to us, okay? And so if you want to speak in tongues, you're not all of a sudden one day just going to start speaking in tongues. You're going to have to start speaking, okay? And so if the Holy Spirit gives you a word, you may not understand it. You speak that word. If another word comes, then you speak that word. If not, you can keep speaking the same word over and over that you have, okay? And there is no rhyme or reason as to what it should sound like. What you will sense and what you will feel is the presence of God. And you should have a warmness. You should have the emotion of knowing that God is close to you. And this would be then just the next step in that. So whether that happens in your own prayer time at home before you go to bed, whether that happens at devotion at camp, whether that happens at another Sunday morning service here, if that is something that you are seeking and you are desiring, the scripture says that if you will knock, what will happen? The door will be opened unto you. If you will seek God, you will find. He will reveal himself. So there's no secret. There's no special thing that needs to happen other than you in your relationship with God saying, God, I desire this. Holy Spirit, I desire to be able to speak into tongues, to have a language that I am speaking directly to him and bypassing the intellect, the mind, the understanding. And guess what will happen? He'll give it to you. I have known people that have prayed it and happened instantaneously. I have known people that have prayed that, and for them it was 6 to 7 weeks before they were felt in a position that they could do that. So there's no quote-unquote thing that you have to do special. You don't have to be in a particular service where a particular song is being played. All that music does and worship does is it brings you into a presence of God. But you can do that on your own, in your own prayer time. It doesn't have to be like that. When I received the ability to speak in tongues, I was 12 years old. I was at a a youth rally in Macon, Georgia, at the Coliseum. It was a concert, but then someone talked, and then they talked about the ability to do this, and it was one of the greatest things that happened in my life. And I have spoken tongues off and on. I can't say that I've used it every day. I would dare say I've probably used it every month when I was younger, And then when I became into the ministry, I got to where I was using it, more weekly, and now it's on a daily basis. So just think about it. If it's not for you right now, guess what? It's okay. That's not a big deal. But know that it is there for you for encouragement. It is there for you to help you in your walk, in your decision-making, in the things that you have to do. Because all of us have to live our lives. We all got to obey parents until you get to the point that you're not living with your parents. But then you still have other people you have to obey, the decisions that you have to make. And this gives you a portion of what you need to be able to do that. Make sense? Any questions? None? I speak in tongues, and I think you do. Anybody else? Never done it? Okay. It's just an option. Pastor Buren's actually talking about that in service right now. And it is something that we know the power of the Holy Spirit in speaking in tongues is a tool that can be used that can help people's lives. So we don't want people to not do it. But yet we also don't want to scare people with it. Because people that have not ever had a teaching about it or don't have an understanding about it, anything that is unknown is scary. We were at the ocean, or it was actually the Sound, which is kind of like the bay, and Jet was thinking about jumping off the boat into the water, but it was dark, and he said, the sea monsters are down there. And because, so it was scary to him, and we convinced him that, no, there's no sea monsters, you can jump. And so he was then able to jump, because he overcame that fear of the unknown. And so one of the reasons we're beginning to talk about it again is because we want that fear of the unknown to go away and it to be a part of who you are and what you do. Good? Let me pray. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for each and every person that's here. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in their lives. I thank you, Father, Lord, for their relationship with you. I pray, Father, Lord, that you continue to give them a desire, Lord, to serve you deeper and stronger. I pray, Father, Lord, that if anyone is a desirous, Father, Lord, of this gift of speaking in tongues, Father, Lord, that as they pray, Father, Lord, that you will show yourself real to them and give them those words to utter. I pray, Father, Lord, that you will just continue, Father, Lord, to strengthen. Lord, I pray for summer camp, Lord, and every student that is going, those that are here and those that aren't here, Lord, for the leaders, Lord, for the services, for the activities, that no one will get injured in any way, that we'll have a lot of fun. Lord, and I thank you, Father, Lord, for what you're doing, Father, Lord, with Converge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.